Tonight, as we look at the tremendous thought of the abundance of our God and what he wants for us, I want to just deal with a practical subject for just a few minutes here this evening. In a letter written to the Roman Emperor Trajan by Pliny the Younger, he was the governor of Bithynia at AD 110. That's just a little after the final words of the Apostle John. He described what he had learned about the Christians and their worship. He said, "They are accustomed to meet on a fixed day before daylight to sing a hymn of praise to Christ as God." And he was writing because he was troubled about the spread of the Christian faith in his area and how that people could be leaving pagan altars. And in his statement of this, he gives a real key to one aspect of how God works in our hearts, and that is through hymns of praise. If you'll turn with me to a well-known verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. In this verse, we have one emphasis here on the importance of abundance. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I want to talk today about being able to be abundantly enriched by the truth. "Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Here we have a verse that really about five messages could come out of with different emphases that would be very important to us. But I want to look at the way that God uses music to fill our hearts with his truth. And so as we look at this, we see the domination that God wants of his word in our life. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Here is a directive that is very important. Now, when Christ was here on this earth, do you think that it was important that his disciples listen to what he was saying? In fact, in the Upper Room Discourse, he makes it very clear, and after that, as he was heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, that the Spirit of God would come into their lives to bring to remembrance, to teach them all that Christ had given, the precious truth of Christ. And of course, you can apply this to the entire Word of God. But here we see that there should be room in our hearts for there to be an abundance, a rich understanding with wisdom of the Word of God. And that, of course, is a whole message in itself. This is an imperative. God wants us to just be absolutely filled. Our thought processes, our view of life, the way we react, our relationships, it ought to be word-dominated. And we often think of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, and that's not the word study in the books. It means to give yourself to be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's in that whole passage there in chapter 2 of spiritual development, as Paul there in his last book that God allowed him to pen under inspiration, was so burdened to see the church go forward, and he knew the absolute necessity of understanding rightly and fully the Word of God. In fact, this is God's standard for the believer. We should have as our just deep understanding of its importance the fact that we've got to be just filled with the Word of God. It has the idea of abundantly or extravagantly rich in understanding and knowing and having dominate our lives, to have the Word of Christ itself. Now, I'm just giving this as background because this is very critical for what I'm going to be talking about. One of the tools that God uses for this is music. And yet, if we don't understand the importance of the Word of God, then we'll not understand the importance of biblical Christian music in our lives. Another verse that we obviously would think of in the doctrine of inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so God is wanting us to just have the Word of God just filling our lives abundantly, richly, just dominating our thinking. And we all understand that's important. But how can that be? We want the illumination of the Word of God in our lives. That's another aspect here that in all wisdom, that God will make it plain, that we'll have the joy of understanding and knowing the truth. Again, so much could be said. But, you know, you could stop that after that first phrase, and that would be quite an admonition. But then you have an unusual way for this to occur. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God uses music to be a demonstration, a tool, a means of giving us His Word. God's plan is for music to be a key vehicle for truth. Now, does music affect us? Oh boy, does it affect us. I am not an expert in music theory. I'm not an expert in all of the dynamics of how music affects you physiologically, and it really does. We could have different kinds of music compounding out of our speakers here today, and if we had little children sitting in the front, if all of a sudden a march would come on, we'd all of a sudden have a hard time keeping them in their seats. They'd all be marching around, and I'm not sure if we had a waltz going, whether they'd waltz or not, but if we had the wrong kind of music going, have you ever been as a parent embarrassed by your little child? All of a sudden some music comes on and boy, you don't have to teach them the wrong way to react. It affects us physiologically. It also affects us very much emotionally, goes deep. That's why people, it's their music. It's that which when they're melancholy, they have certain aspects of music. When they it goes to the core of their being. It's a very powerful tool and affects us. And above all, God wants it to affect us spiritually. It can affect us negatively spiritually. It can bring out the carnal man, or it can, in this context, be a vehicle to cause us to overflow with truth. You know, we get busy with all kinds of things. We get very much focused on legitimate aspects of our day. We start with our devotions. We have time with God. We spend an extended time in prayer. We try to memorize scripture, and we want to keep that in front of us. Some of you have some wonderful ways of having verse cards and having things out to help you just remember the Word of God. But I want to tell you, one of the greatest ways to be overflowing with the Word of God is to have Word-filled, appropriate spiritual music in your heart and mind. It can keep you focused on the things of the Lord. I'm not even talking about having music all the time playing. I'm talking about having it deep within your hearts. That's why we have to have the right kind of music. It is a tool for us to be rich in the truth. Now look at this. This is amazing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why do we have music? Why did we have music tonight? Why do we have music everywhere you turn around? What's going to happen at Christmas time? Music is going to be everywhere. And music is supposed to be for the church and for us a tool to learn the Word of God, to teach it, and to admonish one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so this is God's plan, and we need to understand Ephesians 5:19 says the same thing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's part of being Spirit-filled. And God wants us to just love the truth. And so this is why we have music. This is why we need to have music in our lives. That's why you need godly music in your homes, so that you can have constantly going in your mind and heart doctrine, truth, the words of Christ, so it can overflow within you. It's just a practical lesson I'm giving you tonight. You know, you wonder, how can I think on Scripture all the time? Well, you can. You don't have to have music to do it. But I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. That's one of the reasons I love In the Hour with God. We end it with what? Singing. And it's just amazing. The song that you sing to the Lord at the end of your time with the Lord will go with you all day long. But the problem is, a lot of Christian music that is chosen is not a vehicle for truth. Or it is not very accurate, or it is shallow. And that's why we need to realize it says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all speaking of that which the Spirit of God can use, utilizing the Word of God, the psalms, the psaltery, and the great hymns that primarily come the doctrinal aspects of Scripture that are put to music, and then that which the Spirit of God gives to empower us to live the Christian life. So let's look just for a few moments at the principles here for sacred music that will help us to overflow on a regular basis with truth. By the way, as I mentioned, it affects us. I've said this often, but oftentimes I'll be listening on the radio, and you know, the dumbest things have music behind them. You know, and sometimes when you think about it, some of the commercials, it is, but you know what happens? It can really be a lousy song, and it can be a song that has something that is really mundane that they're talking about, windows, you know, or garages, or deodorant, or whatever. But you know what you find yourself if you listen to it a few times? And what do? They sing the line over and over and over again. And so what are you doing? You find yourself whistling about deodorant? I mean, really? And really, some of the dumbest things that we do, but it shows you how powerful a tool it is to learn. By the way, Scripture set to music, as we've done here with several of the books that have been put in the New Testament to music, and appreciate Mrs. Williams that has done that. You listen to that for a little while, guess what happens? You will have that going through your mind, and you will keep it. And so that's why we, listen folks, music is a big deal. And I'm not an expert here tonight. I just want you to realize if you pick the right kind of music and have the right kind of music in your home and have that as part of your worship to God, you can be overflowing with truth all day long. You can be getting to work and all of a sudden there's all kind of stuff. You're having to battle things of the world. But if there's just deep within you some music you've been listening to that you're singing, or maybe you're able to listen to your own music, it will absolutely change how you are able to navigate, and truth will be just strengthening your heart on a regular basis. So it's just some things let me mention here. The biblical content is the Word of Christ. Correct doctrine, logos, all of God's Word. And I could give you, and I could have Daniel come up here and just go over so many of the contemporary songs of our day. And honestly, when you look at what they say, you realize that's not the words of Christ. And a lot of wrong teaching. You wonder, how did evangelicalism get to the place where 60% of born-again believers do not have certainty about the origin of being creation of the human race, I can tell you it has partially come by listening to very weak or wrong doctrine songs and not having a real respect and reverence for the Word of God and taking it literally. That has been part of the problem. And so we need to realize the Apostle Paul under inspiration in Galatians 1:8 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." And I'm telling you, if you dissected a lot of the modern music of our day, you would realize, oops, that's not accurate. That's not right. That's wrong-centered. That's definitely man-centered. And you've got so much of Christianity going down wrong philosophical paths because of what the music is saying, taking and skewing what the Word of God says. There should be a reverence and exaltation of God. Years ago, I remember when contemporary music began to come out, I was just shocked with the song "Jammin' with the Lamb." I mean, that is not reverential. And again, I'm not here to give this is not trying to just deal with the wrong kind of music, but we do need to understand that we've got to choose the right kind of music. It should have the full understanding and depth of the Scriptures. And you know, sometimes songs that are in our hymn books and all, you need to look at, and is it really portraying the Word of God accurately? Because the truth that you get from that will stay in your mind and heart and actually will become part of your doctrinal perspective. And it will come back to you at key times when you're analyzing truth and understanding and trying to navigate what to believe, and it will have an impact on you. And so that's important. I've mentioned how my father initially grew up in a very liberal Baptist church in Miami, Florida. The pastor there was a flaming liberal. Angel was his last name. What a name. But anyway, Leroy Angel. And he, they heard terrible things, and his parents finally left. But he said, you know, I don't remember any of the messages. He was just, I think, 5 or 6 when they left. But he said, I remember the great hymns that they sang. And he said, I got stirred by the great hymns of the faith and the "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" and hymns. By the way, when you look at the carols, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," these are just tremendous vehicles of truth. I just love it if I'm in a store and I hear one of those songs being played. I would like to say, stop everybody, listen to the words, unless of course the song's so upbeat that it ruins it all. But if it's decently done, I mean, it's tremendous. And so hymns will help us really understand truth. Now, Psalms primarily refer to the Old Testament Psalms put to music. This was a key part of the early church worship. And this primarily speaks about the nature and work of God, especially in the lives of believers. Hymns refer to songs of praise focused on God, which the early church distinguished from psalms. And these were ones that specifically praised the Lord Jesus Christ. And various New Testament passages were sung as hymns in the early church days. And then spiritual songs were songs of testimony. Some would call them odes of the Spirit that spoke of what God had done and praising God for the work of the Spirit in one's life. And so that's a pretty clear layout here of the Word of God, isn't it? You see, what's the point of this verse? Is this an exposition on music? No, it's an exposition on having overflowing Scripture in your life. And again, I want this to be practical. I'm not trying to make this a music seminar here. But I really believe that if you want to grow in the Lord, pick very strategic hymns and learn them as a family. Have godly music in your home. Take time in your private worship to over and over bring those hymns to God and let that go deep within you. I appreciate some of you when we are singing through a number of hymns. I notice that some of you never look down at the hymn book. You know all 5, 6 verses. That's a tremendous blessing. And those hymns are Word of God hymns. They come from the Psalms. By the way, what the choir sang was from the Scripture. And didn't it have just a specific, it was simple, but it stirred you because that's thus saith the Lord. And to be able to have in our hearts and to be memorizing Scripture because it's music and it's there is a glorious thing. And so really, Dad, you need to think about what's going on in your home. There's a lot of music today that is supposedly Christian music that's not contemporary, but when you really analyze it, it's so much personal testimony and so little of a genuine exaltation of God and the teaching of truth. We need to be very careful about that. There is a place for testimony, but it needs to really praise the Lord. Now, note, it's music is to teach and admonish. You can ask yourself, the music that I'm listening to, can I use this to teach others truth? In fact, can I use this to actually exhort people to live for God? That's quite a question. As a pastor, you say, you know, wow, you've got pretty conservative music here. I have to give answer to this. It should teach and admonish. It should be able to be spiritually empowered. It has a music must have. It is not entertainment. It is not just for that. We can have music that's entertaining. That's fine for concerts and all that. But when we are worshiping the Lord, music is for the purpose of letting the Word of God really come into our hearts. And so it should have a life-changing purpose. What is the church supposed to do with the leadership gifts? It's for the perfecting of the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. And then also notice, as I just quickly go through this, singing with what? Grace in your hearts to the Lord. It needs to be the kind of music that God can empower. You know, honestly, music that we choose to listen to, and that's why you cannot leave the radio on indiscriminately. You got to be very careful about just picking some kind of a, of course you don't use CDs anymore, but you know what I mean, getting some kind of streaming and not being careful of what's coming on, because it can either produce an atmosphere that promotes carnality or for the Spirit of God to work. I have honestly, at home, with a group of people and in a church service, I have seen God mightily move just through a musical number. I remember very distinctly some years back when we did Amazing Grace as a choir. But you could have heard a pin drop when it was done. Now, we have heard Amazing Grace 1,000 times. And we had heard that rendition of it, that arrangement of it, a number of times. But God chose in that moment to just come down. And that's an amazing thing. Haven't you had a time when you were just alone and you were listening to a godly number and all of a sudden God really dealt with you? I remember some years ago I was in my study and I had the Joan Pinkston's CD with her different piano and orchestra arrangements. And on came, You've Heard It Here, How Great Thou Art. And I wasn't necessarily focused on the music. I was focused on my preparation. I mean, it wasn't about 2 or 3 phrases into that. God got a hold of my heart. The tears flowed. And I'm telling you, before it was all over, I was worshiping the Lord. God can do that. God wants His Word to come alive. It's grace. Grace is God's supernatural, divine working in our hearts and lives to enable us to do what God wants us to do and deliver us and to work in our hearts. And so music can have just great grace in it. But you notice who the primary audience is to the Lord. And that's what happens when you have your hour with God. That's what happens when you have family altar. That should be what happens when we have service here. Folks, we got to be careful, even with good Christian music, don't just do it to make you feel good. Cause the music that you're listening to cause you to think about God, because He is the primary audience for our music. You find that also in the Ephesians passage. Psalm 144:9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. And music should cause us to take God's word and bring it back to the Lord and worship Him for who He is, and to allow the truths to just go deep within our hearts in the very presence of God, and the grace of God deals with us and those to whom we are ministering. Now, that was just a very quick overview. But friends, we need to do everything we can to be God conscious 24/7. Every waking moment, we need to be thinking about truth. It's not just a nice little idea. Pray without ceasing. We need to give thanks in all things. And we need to be having the Word of God finding a home in us richly, overflowing. We need to be God conscious. Well, there are things that we can do. There are many things that we can do. But one of the most clear things we can do is to have music in our lives. You say, well, I don't know much about music. The Spirit of God authored music and created music. He knows a lot, and He is in you, and He will help you. If you need help in getting the right kind of music, please ask. But God will teach you and grow you and develop you and grow. Listen, parents, your family needs to have godly music. You need to invest in godly music. You need to make sure that music that you're having is not counterproductive to what you're doing. That's why I didn't let my kids watch television, because the music was going to undermine everything that we believed. Just that alone, plus all the viewing and everything else. That was very important to me. And we got to be very careful. Turn off the radio if it's not right. Be very careful what you just stream into your home, because this is all about worshiping God and allowing God to work and to learn the Word of God. Folks, when we're thinking spiritually and we're thinking word-filled, we're different people. Don't you love to get truth? All of a sudden comes alive. Don't you just love when something becomes precious? Don't you love it when I can see that now? Well, there's lots of means. You got to study. There's great opportunities to meditate, to memorize. But use scripture-filled, godly. It doesn't mean that it has to be scripture itself, but godly doctrinal music that's appropriate with the right kind of music to keep your mind, to give a home to the truth so that it can overflow. God will just cause a truth about Christ and all that we have to just be precious to you on a regular basis if you make a decision to have it so. So a little bit different angle on abundantly, the idea of abundantly, but I just got stirred here that's how we should live. And what does Satan do? We find that from Ezekiel. He took music, he has used it for his purpose to destroy mankind. And my, he has done that today. And the majority of Christian churches today, you will hear music that is counterproductive to Colossians 3:16. But it is a great tool. It is a great tool. And you know, would you pray with us? We need more godly music produced in this day. We really do. We need to see true scriptural music that will teach the different aspects of the Word of God that can change and transform our lives. So I just would encourage you, don't leave out singing in your prayer time. Do not leave out singing in your family altar. Have the right kind of music playing and endeavor to choose songs that you can have on your mind and heart throughout the day. So especially different truths that you want to focus on. Doctrine of Christ, doctrine of the Word of God, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the atonement, the blood of Christ. Pick some songs and meditate on that. I'm telling you, God will use music to just keep in mind truth that can keep out the world's distractions like we talked about this morning and cause you to focus on Christ. So just a simple thought, but you can overflow with truth tomorrow. And one of the tools you can use is the right kind of music. Let's pray.